Yoredeil Simin Kuf Yud Ches. Kuf Yud Ches. Din Chatichas Vasar Adover Meichel Hamishlach Ayidei Ovikochavim. So the starting point for this discussion is the Gemara in the end of Lamed Tesam and Aleph and Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara distinguishes between Chavis and Champag, which you saw, right? And the Gemara on Amud Beis said that the Ches is going to be Chatichas Dag, Basar, Yayin, and Tcheles. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote Tcheles because Tcheles wasn't, likely wasn't, Achronim point out, wasn't Matzui.
Wasn't or isn't?
Wasn't Matzui at that time, whether it is or is not, further discussion. And then the Rishonim try to figure out what's the difference between this category and the Champag category, the Pas or the Murias, Cholav, Gvina, what's the difference? So we have several distinctions in the Rishonim. So Rashi says the difference is the value, meaning what value? The disparity in value, in cost, between kosher meat and non-kosher meat. Why is that significant? Why is this Chavis and Champag, the requirement to have a chasima, a chosam, on these items? Why is it important? Because the chashash here is, perhaps, you're going to give your kosher meat to the non-kosher delivery driver, and the non-kosher driver or the non-kosher custodian who's watching your meat will swap out your expensive kosher meat for his non-kosher cheaper meat.
Wait, you said non-kosher, just a non-Jewish just now? You said non-kosher delivery guy.
I said non-Jewish. That's a simple...
You mean non-Jewish?
Non-Jewish. Okay. Oh, I meant non-Jewish. Okay, simple shot.
Well, I'm sure we're going to address at some point Jews that are more...
So that's really Kuf Yotes. Kuf Yotes is all about different levels of Nemonus for different areas.
Okay.
Here we're talking about... Let's stick with a goy, or we will say, I mean, there is a difference I want to talk about between somebody who's chashud to violate things that are generally not viewed as serious isurim. They are serious isurim, but people don't view them that way, versus somebody who is chashud to violate more serious isurim. If the person is chashud on gezel, so then he's going to be entered into this concern of Shema Yachlev, because there's going to be financial incentive for him to switch it out. When I spoke to Schefter about this, he also pointed out that there is a perception, he referenced an episode of a mad cow disease of some kind, that there is a perception, I don't know in what context, but there is a perception that kosher meat
is healthier
than non. And we'll get to this when we talk about Hana in a little bit. But the idea is that when you have an incentive, and according to Rashi, the incentive is financial, we are concerned that the non-Jew, who is the custodian of this food, will swap out your food for his food, and when he gives it back to you, you're going to be eating treif. That's right. Rashi's understanding.
We're assuming that he's selling this, your non-kosher food, or just he?
Your
schmuck. Because, this costs more. We're not makala between what the guy's doing with the food once he has it.
I mean, but that does play a factor in determining that the Ramah says only applicable when there is potential Hana.
So well, we'll get to it. The Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Yud makes a different distinction, and you see this also in the Rashba. The Rashba in, I didn't write it down when I looked it up. I did see the whole thing. It's at the way end, I think it was Bias Beis Shar Dalet or Dalet Beis. It's an end, it's actually in Taruvus, it's not in Machol Yaakov. So the Raja makes the same point. Like the Rambam distinguishing between a category of De Oraisa versus De Rabbanan. So the Basar, the Dag, those are issues that are De Oraisa. And the Stam Yenom, which is potentially maybe only De Rabbanan, because it's not actual Nisuch. It's just Stam Yenom. So the Rashba says there's another caveat there because they are Lot Acharei HaNisuch. So that's why there's a higher threshold of concern. The third approach, Tosfos quotes from Rabbi Ephraim ben David, who distinguishes between Isil Isuri Be'enei versus Leisil Isuri Be'enei. Now, the Orach HaShulchan says the truth is, he thinks that that's essentially the same Hesper as the Rambam and the Rashba. If it's Isil Isuri Be'enei, so you have the actual Isil Daraisa. If it's Leisil Isuri Be'enei, so Meikra, then it's going to be Batal Min HaTorah. It's only Chashash Darabanan.
Not necessarily, because we hold Tamfik and Daraisa. So you could have this Yisur not been still be
potentially,
Yisur.
But he says really they're trying to drive at the same thing. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's suggestion. And then there's one other place to look, which is not here. It's earlier on Daf Lamed Aleph, where Tosfos gives two other suggestions. Tosfos on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskil de Omar, is Machalek first between a Nachri and a Yisrael Chashud. That's Rabbi Nutam. And then Tosfos, not happy with that, Tosfos himself has a different chiluk, which is between whether or not you're going to have the opportunity to inspect it or not. If I send something through a shipping company and I'm shipping it somewhere through this this airline to another location where I'm not going to be able to inspect it upon receipt, so then there's a greater concern that the person is going to be mocked with it, because how is anybody going to know? But if the sender is going to be inspecting it when they receive it, or they're going to be in touch with the person who's on the receiving end, so then they can inspect it. So these are the five different mahalchim that the Rishonim give as to how to distinguish between Chavis and Champag. Well, what is the nafkamina between Chavis and Champag? The Gemara said that Chavis requires two chosamos. Champag only requires one chosam. How do we pass in Lamaisa? The Shulchan Aruch quotes Basar Chatichas Dag. Yain comes up in Koflamid. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Sarech Shnei Chosamos. It requires two chosamos. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, like the Rambam, because they're daraisa, as opposed to kol she isur, same lashon as the Rambam, kol she isur midirei sofim mutar b'chosam echad, under the category of chometz, yayin she'ir for both ramachim, because they're not going to be menasechet, chalav, murias, and pas with kvina. Good? Says the Shulchan Aruch and the Yeshomim, you should know, there's also another option, which is the Tosfos on Lamed Aleph, not the Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosfos on Lamed Aleph, who says that there's a distinction between if you're going to see it again and if you're not going to see it again. And then the Rama says, Bidyeved, you can rely on the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says, we're only going to require Shnei Chosamos when it comes to Yisrael Chashud. Why? Why do you only require one when it comes to Yisrael Chashud? Because you're going to require two when you have a Yisrael Chashud, only one when it's a Nachri. Because the Yisrael Chashud thinks that because he's Jewish, you know, me, you, we know each other, we trust each other, so there's going to be an implicit level of laxity, of familiarity, which he might take advantage of. And that's why you require two Chosamos. The Rama says, B'dyeved, you could be Samech on the Rabbeinu Tam, but L'chatchila, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both. Sounds like from the Shach, sounds like we should be choshesh for all these different considerations.
Yisrael choshesh is because of that, not because we worry about having nefarious intentions at all.
I'm trying to remember where I saw this. Maybe it was in the Shulchan.
Someone definitely talks about that, but that's less mistaber than Yisrael choshesh, and therefore he's got like some agenda.
Yeah, so I saw the Darki Tshuva talks about the issue of nefarious intention, but I didn't see it in the context of the Yisrael
Chashud. That it's that he thinks that he's more believable.
Yeah, just speaking of familiarity.
No, so I thought the word was that like they're not gonna be, meaning the word is that he's like, I can get away with it.
Right, but not because he is trying to be machshel you.
So I wasn't sure what the shot was.
No, it's because he wants to make a buck, and he knows he can get away with it.
Right,
because no one supervises him.
There's always a level.
Right. Tosfos, I think, said that explicitly. Didn't Tosfos even say that?
He thinks that he can get away with it easier.
Yeah, he can get away with it.
Yeah. So not because he's out to get you. He's not.
I didn't mean like that, but I mean that he.
I don't think so. I don't think it's because he's like a meshuma and he's trying to...
He doesn't care. He's going to flip it out. Yeah. And you have to be more careful with it because he thinks he doesn't know he's going to be concerned about him. So he's,
exactly.
So he's more likely to just go ahead and do it. So therefore, he doesn't go.
So this is our din. This is our din that when you have meat, food, product, which is owned by a Jew, which is then being handed over to a Nachri, you have to worry about this chashash that the Nachri will swap it out. That is the chashash, that's the din that we're dealing with. There is another din, which in one respect is similar, but in many respects is different. And that is the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Siman Samach Gimel, and that is what we call Basar Shenis'alim Min Ha'ayim. It's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Basar, which was unsupervised, it was Nimtza, was found in the street. The Gemara uses the phrase, it was found Biyad Goy, it was found somewhere, that Basar is Asur. Why is it Asur? Because we are concerned that maybe an animal is going to pick up that meat and replace it with another piece of meat. That's the concern. The Rambam in Mehilchos Machlos Asuris Perek Ches Halacha Yud Beis paskins this way.
With that time?
He just says, Chachamim Asru all unsupervised meat. This is midivrei sofrim. You find a piece of meat in a makom that's Rov Yisrael, it's technically mutter. Called a parish meruba parish. But that piece of meat was unsupervised, so it is aser midivrei sofrim midirabanan because of this special gzeira of basash and its alim min ha'ayin. That maybe an animal came and switched it for something else. Tosfos on the page says, well, this sounds like a chumrah. And if you look in the Hagos Maimini on that Rambam, I think the Hagos Maimini is Osvav. The Hagos Maimini says, yeah, the Rambam has the Rif and the Rabbeinu Hanan and a bunch of other Rishonim, especially Chachmei Svarad, who are machmir for this, but he quotes a bunch of Chachmei Ashkenaz, Rabbeinu Tam, and others who are not machmir for this. But the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. So this is a similar sounding din where you have unsupervised, in this case, meat, which is Aser. And who makes this connection between our Siman and that Siman? The Shach. The Shach right here in the beginning says, wait a minute, what does this have to do with the other? So, on the one hand, if you look at the Gemara in Chulin and the Tzadi Hamad Beis, the Gemara in Chulin tells you that there is a way to avoid the issue of Basar Shenis Alim and Ayin. And that's going to be important for us. What is that? The Gemara says, if it's Tzaira v'chasuma, or you have a Siman. Was Tzaira v'chasuma, tied up and sealed, you don't have to worry it's going to be swapped out because it's sealed, it's marked. Or, he says, it has a Siman, the Gemara says. So in that respect, as we will see, in that respect, it's a very similar concept to our din. If you can ascertain that this is the original piece of meat that you knew to be kosher at one point, either because of a rove, or because of a chazaka, or because you owned it, because you saw it, you shechted it, however halachically going to ascertain that it was kosher, and you can confirm and assure that it's still the same thing, but through the siman or the tzair of a chasuma, so then it's good. And you've solved both our problem of kuf yud ches and siman samach gimel. So in that respect, they're similar in that the solution to the problem is ensuring that it's the same meat as it was. However, it is different. It's different fundamentally because there are different kinds of chashashos. There you're worried that an oriv came along, a bird or an animal comes along, as opposed to here, you're worried that an akum has a reason, has a benefit for swapping it out. And so those are two different considerations, and there will be nafkaminas. So for example, when I asked Rav Schechter about this, he pointed out, he said, the Hefker table in YU. That's what he gave as an example.
I'm surprised he didn't even know existed.
He said the Hefker table in YU.
On the
he says people bring
leave as soon as the food shows up.
He said that they come, they bring food, and they leave it there. He says, someone said once that it's a problem of Basa Shin Salam and Ayin. He says, it's not Basa Shin Salam and Ayin. No animals are coming in here and taking food from the Hefker table.
No dinim of animals.
So then you have a separate chashash, which is after you dealt with the Basa Shin Salam Min Ayin chashash, you have to deal with the issue of the Basa Shin Shachai De'akov. So that is a separate thing. It's not the same kashash. And there, he says, when it comes to the Hefker table, is the security guard allowed to eat from the Hefker table?
Havana.
So you don't have to worry that he's going to swap it out for anything, because he's allowed to eat like everybody else is allowed to eat. But Rav Shapter said, he said, keep in mind, these are two different kashashos. Let's say you have a place which is outdoors, and it's taka unsupervised, but it's not in the guy's interest to swap it out. If a guy was coming by,
it's chilling.
It's whatever. You come with the mitzvahs, so then it would be a problem of basar shenis alam and ayin, not a problem of basar shenis lachai de'akum. You didn't give it to an akum. It's just unsupervised, and vice versa. You have a place. I saw some akum talk about this. A place where there's no animals, there's no chashash anybody else is going to get to it, but under the auspices, it's in the circle of influence of this Akum, and he's supervising it, and no one is watching him, and he has the benefit to swap it out, so he doesn't have to worry about this chashash. These are two distinct chashashos. So the Shach and Sifkat and Aleph wonders why it is in the case where we talk about Basar Shenimtza B'Yad Akum in that Gemara in Sadihei in Chulin and in Siman Samach Gimel. What do you mean Basar Shenimtza B'Yad Akum? How could it ever be kosher? It violates Siman Kuf Yud Ches. Right over there, the Gemara is donning the Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin. Do we not paskin like Rav with Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin? If you're not machmir for Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin, you can rely on the Rov that it came from the Makul and Shal Kosher. But the Shach says, what are you talking about? The guy is holding on to non kosher meat. So the Shach has two terutzim. And his first teretz is that case, who bought the Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin? The guy. The guy already paid for it. He already invested in paying for the kosher meat. So there's no benefit for him going home and switching it out for non-kosher meat. It's his meat. The whole chashash is where he's going to benefit financially. And that's why the Gemara there doesn't raise the issue of the fact that it's in the hands of the guy. Because the guy is not motivated to swap it. He paid for it anyway. It's from one pocket to the other pocket.
And the guy bought it for you.
No, the guy happened to be, he was traveling through, I don't know, on business. He stopped in Tel Aviv. He took an Uber to B'nai Brak. He just wants a sandwich and then he's going to go back on the plane. Just saying. Lu Yitzur.
Nationally, there's no kosher sandwiches in all Tel Aviv.
I'm saying, he went to B'nai Brak. He heard they have very good, good schnitzel. So, in that case, he has no motivation to swap it out. But the point is that these are two distinct gezeiros. Okay? So they're related to each other, but they're not the same.
Is this everyone's purview here, or is there Shach's purview? So, yeah. I think Mamash, the Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin is strictly an animal concern.
That's what the, if you look in the Sugya and the Gemara, that's what the Rishonim say that. Yes.
Only applies to
yes.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the Rishonim say that on the daf.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Take a look at if I have a Rashi and Chulin there. Do you have a Chulin there?
No, because that's not good for
me. take a look at Rashi.
What did you say about someone who came into the OU and was hacking Rav Shechter Chaynik about the Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin because he thought that there wasn't proper supervision in the OU, different whatevers, and Rav Shechter was like, what are you talking about? There's no, everything's indoors. There's no problem with an animal or something. There's no problems with animals. And the guy was like, you show me someone who says that. And Schaffler said,
is that the story?
Was the story. Schaffler said, give me a piece of paper and a pen, and I'll write it down, and you can shoot me, and a dead rabbi wrote it. It'd be written by a dead rabbi.
I was pumped about this.
I thought it was the goof of this. I thought it was this.
Okay. I don't know. We can ask him about. Anyway.
They both happened.
Okay, so the Rama. So that's issue number two. You really can't discuss the Shach points out. You can't discuss Kuf Yud Ches without noting of Samach Gimel, but understanding the difference between them. And that's the Shach's first answer. The second issue here is the Rama's Ha'ara that it's Dafka. The Rama's Ha'ara in Beis. That there is a benefit. Now, if you look in the Darki Tshuva later in Os Ayinon, he quotes some Achronim who are mefakbek on this.
Can you repeat that? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yossi, stop playing Os loudly. God.
So the Darki Tshuva in Ayin Hay does quote some early Achronim who raise the possibility that we should be choshesh that people are going to lahachis undermine you against this Rama, but the Askama Saposkim is not like that. But there were some Achronim who were choshesh for that also. It's later, it's the end of Darki Tshuva in Ayin Hay. So the Rama says it's Dafka where the Goy is going to benefit. Now, the Chalkas Binyamin in Lamed Beis points out that this is true even for a wealthy person, because it's Lo Plug Rabbanon.
A wealthy Goy, you mean?
A wealthy Goy. And he suggests even if it's a Hanoa Mu'etes. Now, I asked Rabbi Sobolovsky what he thinks about this, and he says, I don't know how to. But I pushed him a little bit. He said, and I think it makes perfect sense, he says, it's got to be reasonable.
And then with the risk the guy's taking.
Yeah. The fact is...
Why? Oh, well, I'll listen and then I'll challenge.
I mean, there has to be, like, some reason for benefit. Someone
with a lot of money doesn't steal for the money. They steal because they enjoy it. It's like a rush. When you have nothing else that's challenging, they're like, hey,
okay, that's a totally different thing. That's not what we're talking about. This is not like the Mayim Kanuvim Yutaku where you have nothing else to do except for running around and stealing things.
But even though
we're talking about
most guys what lie and steal, according to some publication in the city.
Be careful about what way you're reading. Exactly, have to watch where you're reading. We don't endorse those publications. But the point is, the average citizen, the average Joe, there has to be a reasonable benefit, you know, for them to realize that the treif meat is $2.99 a pound and the kosher meat is $3.99 a pound, $4.99 a pound. Like, you've got to be in a business where that kind of discrepancy, like... You must be a caterer, because a dollar a pound or $2 a pound in a commercial setting will make a big difference. But for your average person, if the sacha kol that this person is going to benefit is so meager, it's hard to believe that there would be a chashash of hachlafa. We're talking just financially.
I think most of the people in this kol, if they could get a dollar in there, they would.
They wouldn't risk somebody finding them sneaking into someone else's property and risk.
We're dealing with like a really bizarre guy. He's willing to steal, but he's trying to cover his tracks. It's like very
That's not so. I mean, people do that all the time.
He's not fully. I mean, he's stealing, but he's swapping out. It's
This happens all the time. He's more This is meat and that's meat. So he's making a buck. And what's the big deal?
What else you have to think about nowadays? Meaning, because if it's in the meaning, if he's swapping packages, so how is he able to then pass off the new meat as kosher meat without having a hechshar? It's like very strange.
That's the purpose of the chosamos. The other issue is, and this Rabbi Sobolovsky agreed when I pointed out to him, it's not just a hana'a kaspi. It's hana, and that means any type of benefit. If it's going to benefit you from a marketing perspective, from a, I don't know, there's some kind of neighborhood bazaar, and it will improve your standing in the neighborhood, that's also called hana. It's not a tangible monetary hana, it doesn't matter. It's hana which is sufficient to motivate this person to swap it out. And the Chalkas Binyamin in Siv Katan Lamed Hei points out that Zman also makes a difference. Lechor means it's got to be reasonable, but Zman makes a difference. Meaning, the guy is driving on the road, and he's hungry now, and he knows that he can get the exact same meat in 2 hours, but he also knows he's not going to be supervised for another 3 hours. So in that case, you have to be choshesh that he's going to eat the meat now.
Meaning, stop at the Uber driver. Percent.
Yeah, the Uber driver. But again, the Uber driver.
So how much time?
You can track the Uber driver. That was what Rulu was saying. Rulu was saying since you can track the Uber driver, it's harder to pull off like a real haflafa.
But they can leave their phone in the car and just go inside the restaurant. It only tracks the phone. Meaning that if they park,
but if you're sitting here,
if there's traffic,
you go to a rest stop.
Whatever, Ayin Shem, the Metzias. So I use Dafka the long haul because it's easier to figure out. So the Uber driver, and the guy's driving past the subway every other block, so there's not much motivation for him to do that. But if you're driving on the Indiana Tollway and you're not going to get food for another hour, you ran out of food, so you may be incentivized. Again, how the guy is driving with your sandwich, that's not the Indian. He's not likely going to go in the back and open the big rig trailer and start rummaging through the packages. He's not going to make a barbecue on the side of the road. He must be starving. Right. But again, it's Rabbi Sokolovsky's point is it's got to be a reasonable benefit. If there's a rest area in 10 minutes, that's not a chashash. But if the guy's not going to eat for 2 hours, so then that is a reasonable chashash. So that's the issue of hana'ah. Good? Okay.
I wonder if certain other no, never
know. Okay. So now we know the parameters. The question is, how do you fix it? So for the chavis, you need 2 chosamos. For the champag, you need 1 chosam. And again, b'di'eved, you have the Rabbeinu Tam, you have the Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch. You have to figure out b'shas l'tchak when you're in the Chavis camp, when you're in the Champag camp. But what does it mean to make a chosam? Yeah.
You asked around this little screen, Shachar, about in the workplace, your lunchbox in the fridge.
No, but I did ask Rav Shachar about the airplane case. Whether that's a problem.
Like, then again, goes to the bathroom.
Yes, that apocryphal story.
So what do you thought?
He didn't think it was a problem.
It wouldn't be an issue because there's no reason for the guy to do it yourself.
There's no reason for the guy to do it. I didn't discuss him at length. I just said, like, Rebbe, does that sound like it's a halachic? I said, is that story even true? But you know, you have also the Yotze v'Nichnas, you have a Mirsas, which we'll get to. Gets up to go to the bathroom, he could come back in 10 seconds. Like, there's no way that story is true.
So you would think the same would apply also, leave your lunchbox in the fridge at work?
I would think so, because there's the Mirsas of Yotze v'Nichnas. Now, we'll get to it later. If it's Zman Rav, if the guy knows you're locked in a meeting and you're never going to get out of there, and there's a benefit for him to swap it out.
How could you conjure a benefit for him to take your food at the workplace?
It's very strange.
It is a very strange case. It's a case where the guy's so hungry, but he's going to be able to replace the food in time before you get there. But you
food, and he wants your food, not any other.
It's very, very unlikely. It's very unlikely. We'll get to. There's another reason why when we talk about the homemade food in a little bit. So let's deal with this next issue about the tzur of a chosam and shnei chosamos. Best place to start for this is in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Lamed Sif Aleph. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yayin. Yeah, it's in the context of Yayin Esav. Shulchan Aruch says you could take Yayin and put it in the hand of a guy if it's chosam b'chosam b'sof chosam or mafteach b'chosam. So what are we talking about? The yayin has got to be, Shulchan Aruch says, in chavis shel cheres. That's the first thing. Whatever packaging you're using, it has to be packaging that can't be accessed. You have shnei chosamos, but there's a hole in the bottom of the bag. That's not going to help you. The first thing, aleph, first base, is make sure you have a closed package. That's the first thing. Now, there's an interesting Ramah. The Ramah says, well, if it's Shel Eitz, I think we can be Mako. It's a Chiddush. Shulchan Aruch says you can't use Eitz, because Eitz, you can pry open the boards, and you can pull out the wine and replace it. So Ramah says, nah, you can be Mako. So if you look at the Darkei Tshuva there in Os Zion, Darkei Tshuva from the Minkach, or Os Zion, he says, that's all true. The Ramah would be Mako only when it's still somewhat difficult. Like if you have a wooden barrel, it's not so easy to pry apart the boards. I mean, it's a barrel, it's not made to leak. But if you have nodos yain, he says, where you can easily take it out, even the Ramah will agree that the Shnei Chosam is not going to help you. You have to have a closed package. You have to have a bag or a box, something. It can't have holes in it. That's the first thing. It can't have holes. That's number one. So number two, what constitutes Shnei Chosamos? So the Ramah says there that you close it Nistam Karoi, and then you put or on top of it, and you write Osios, half on the or, half on the bottom. So that qualifies as Chosam Beso Chosam. Similarly, in Sif Beis, there it describes Sosam Lechavis with Tit, that's one. But if it was Mahudak, and then you were Tach Olav Milamaila, that's called Chosam B'Sol Chosam. So meaning, if you close something securely, that closure is Chosam Echad. On top of that, to put another closure is a second. That's Chosam Shnei Chosamos. Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have two Ksharim Muzarim, two strange Ksharim, Darkei Tshuva and Chavav quotes two deis, whether it needs to be muzar or not, whether it needs to be mishuna, but two, you have a plastic bag, you tie it once, and then you tie it a second time. What's the mila of a double chosam? Because the guy's not going to be mizayif. It's so difficult to be mizayif one, it's kavachomer, it's super difficult to be mizayif two, he's not going to do that. Oh, so now come back to us. Shulchan Aruch here, in Sif Dalet, quotes in the Rajba, mafteach v'chosam is two chosamos. So if you lock it, and then you seal it, that's the equivalent of chosamos. Why is locking not so good?
Because no one knows if you lock it.
Bingo. Because if you tamper with that lock, it's not discernible afterwards. Exactly. So that's the difference. On the other hand, it's still difficult to pick a lock. So if you combine the challenge of lock picking with the additional chosam, which will be tamper evident, so that is sufficient. However, if you look here in the Pri Chadash disagrees with this. This is based on the Rajma. If you look in that long piece in the end in the Torah of Aruch where the Rajma makes this point, it's Bain Labain. But the Pri Chadash says, yeah, but other Rishonim disagree. Pri Chadash thinks that other Rishonim do assume that Mafteach is sufficient to be Chosam Echad, and therefore two Maftechos is Chosam B'Sol Chosam. So that's important to know. Here in Sif Gimel, we have another element, which is the letters. Ramah said the best way to do this, and this is the way they do in Hashgacha today, in many places, they take a piece of tape, and then the Mashgiach writes, both on the tape and on the carton, his name, or some letters. So one letter is one chosam, two letters are two chosamos. So the Chalkas Binyamin is not so excited about this, because he's like, well, maybe the guy's going to sit there and match up the exact letter, even if he doesn't know how to write Hebrew. But the Pashtus is that if he doesn't know how to write Hebrew and he's not paying so much attention, I don't know.
It's very hard to imagine.
if he's scribbling his name, it's going to be hard to
exactly. So that's why he leaves as a Tzorachim, but the Shulchan Aruch B'Pashtus means that the guy's not going to have such an easy time when he rips off the tape to get it back exactly right, and it's going to be noticeable. Additionally, the Pesachei Tshuva here in Os Gimel points out that Masmeros is the equivalent of Chosam Echad. So this brings us to one last point in this context, which is today, I asked Rabbi Reese about this, today a lot of packaging is sealed in such a way that it's essentially impermeable, and once you open it, you're never going to close it, like a tuna fish can. How is it possible to, oh, I don't know, you have to, it's soldered shut, I think, right?
And they, so, they, it's not even, they don't, It's not our seal. It's the other seal, which is still not.
Yeah. So Rabbi Reis agreed, it's just a way of ensuring that no one tampered with it. If it's a tamper-proof thing, then you don't need another one. So if you have a mashkiach who, in the factory where they're canning it, puts something on the can, they have a special can lid that says kosher, so theoretically you should not need chosam b'sol chosam. He says, practice is, the minhag Yisrael is to put chosam b'sol chosam, but me'ikar din it's not necessary. Chosam b'sol chosam is just ratcheting up the security and inhibiting someone from getting in there. But if it's not shy for the guy to get in there, it's mamash. You see these tuna fish cans, like the canned foods. You can't get in there. You can't even pry open. It's totally...
We are mingled with that, right?
So that's what he said. So I think he said that commercially, people...
Goyish stores are buying the tuna, and they're selling it, and we don't know where it got from when it left the production facility until it got to the...
Well, it has an OU on the...
Same. So we're lying, just... It's just one wholesome there. Just one sale.
I think that would be shneipos almost, because the OU is on the paper... And then the sealed can.
The paper is irrelevant. You can rip off the paper and put it on. Like, why does it make a difference? How's that paper ensuring anything most inside the can?
Because I would think that the OU is going to sue the company if they use the unauthorized.
And we're not talking about the company. We're about some schmendrick in between, right?
Yeah. So what's he going to do? He's going to.
I'm saying we're lying.
If he opens the line.
No. I'm pointing out that I think it's wholesome, but so wholesome in the case of the tuna cans.
What about they sell the corned beef or the pastrami and just an Aaron's, whatever, squeeze, back impact. So it's really, they could just, in theory, they could slice open the, but.
I think, again, that's probably also chosem b'sol chosem, because.
I don't see what the second chosem is.
How do you reseal that?
I'm saying,
because you're saying they could take off the sticker?
Or they could slice it from the back. From the back, and there's like one.
Slice from the back, you have to reclose it.
I'm saying, so rely on the fact there's one wholesome there. I'm saying there's only one thing, really. It's not like a double, not double wrapped. The access point is only requires them to break through one of the seals, one of the wholesomos.
Right.
But it seems like we're making all of that.
Yeah.
And if you look at some soda cans or pop cans, the OU is on the top. Similarly, people be
right.
One of the access.
Oh, I don't know. That's on the top. Okay, just because it's easy where it's easy to print on.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So that was Rabbi Reis's point, which is that if you can create a circumstance where you can ensure it's tamper-proof, so then you don't have to worry about it. So the last two points, when do you not have to worry about it? That's how to create the chosam so chosam, or the single chosam. When do you not have to worry about it? So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Zayin quotes the din of Derech Mava Rabim. That if it's going to be in a public place, so then you don't have to worry about it. But the Shulchan Aruch says that's only b'di'evet. Even though, by the way, the Chalkas Binyamin points out that it's not about being in a Jewish neighborhood, in a non-Jewish neighborhood. If you're an Uber guy and you're in a non-Jewish neighborhood, but the person walking by is going to see the Uber guy is eating from Uber Eats package, something like that, so then there's also chashash, but the Shulchan Aruch says that's not l'chatchila. So you have to be careful about that. It's not l'chatchila. But Sifyud, Shulchan Aruch says, nichnas v'yotzei, that's good. Because there's a total mirsas. They don't know. The person come in at any moment. So
even a consumer, any Jew can create that mirsas? Meaning a
if
Jew,
it's a circumstance where the mirsas will be created, if it's nichnas v'yotzei, exactly.
And any Jew is saying that, not just a mashka. Like a jewel with all the brands that are not even sealed.
Exactly.
There are loose seals in those
totally not. There's no chosim at all.
Yeah.
There's no chosim at all.
Well, not, but.
But there, it's, and you might have said that the heter is based on Mavra L'Rabin, because it's a public area, but I think that's not the pshat. I think the pshat is because they have a mashkiach, and the mashkiach is nichnas v'yotzei.
Even all day long, meaning because they're long past when the bakery is closed, the breads are still out there for the night.
Right. Well, once they're, so you have to think about two different things. Is it that the store is going to switch the bread, or a consumer is going to switch the bread? Why would a consumer.
I would assume it's the store that's going to switch the bread.
Right, so why would it. Why would you're saying maybe at night when the mashgiach is gone, they might switch the bread. So we talked about this the other day. L'chora, it's questionable whether, we talked about this case at length, whether or not there's actually you know, enough of a reason why.
Not enough to do it.
Exactly, and what happens if it gets caught? But it's true. L'chura, the case of the bread.
They also have
video cameras.
Video,
yes, I don't know if the mashgiach is watching
those.
They're
the ones saying. Right, the mashgiach is actually saying.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just pointing out that Yehuda's correct in pointing out that those sleeves don't qualify even as a chosam. They're nothing.
Yeah,
they're just open bread.
Yeah, open bread. Exactly.
But that's okay, because open bread, if you have Mavel Arabim, or you have Yosef and Nichnas, and you certainly have a Mirsas, is okay. We're just finishing up. Come on in.
Reese likes his ovens anyway, so it's not a problem.
That's just what comes around.
Yeah.
Okay. But the biggest, I think, a priori benefit or way to get around this is Tevias Ayin. You go, you take the kids on a, on a trip. It's the Pirchei or Bnei Akiva or NCSY trip. There's a bus driver. The bus driver sits on the bus, and the kids all go inside, and you tell the bus driver, you can take the bus wherever you want, come back in 4 hours. So all the sandwiches are all on the bus, and it's not bus Hashin Islam and Ayin probably, because the bus driver is supervising it, that there's no birds coming and swapping out the meat, but it's buser that's being handed to the Gentile. Or, you know, you're staying in a hotel room, and the hotel has a fridge, and you're leaving your food in the fridge. So the Taz and Sifkat and Yud Beis, and the Prichash Chadash also in Sifkat and Beis, talking about a fish, points out that Tfiyas Ayin is sufficient. And that, I think, is the biggest game changer.
Is things sufficient in Chachila?
It's what it sounds like that. I believe so. The context of the case of the fish is lachatchila, meaning he's saying if you have a fish that you recognize, you have to be a sign. You see it's a kosher fish, that's good. And this is not surprising to us because Tfiyas Ayin, that's a din d'oraisa, right? The Gemara talks about how we couldn't live without Tfiyas Ayin. Now, it's interesting. It sounds like, and you could also include, Achronim discuss the idea of a simen. But the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Lamed Zayin points out that a simen is not as strong as Tvias Ayin. Tvias Ayin means I see it. This is, you know,
Gemara.
Right?
Gemara says.
But Metzia.
I mean, they originally thought that Simen is better, and then they realized that Tvias Ayin is better.
Oh, now, what if you have something that's a simen muvuk? So simen muvuk is going to be as good as Tvias Ayin. You know, you have exactly this particular simen that you leave it with. So when you take the kids on the trip, it's not such a big deal usually, or before you leave the hotel in the morning. If you look at those hot dogs and you see exactly what they look like, and you pay close attention to them, and you come back and you see they're the same hot dogs, or forget hot dogs are harder, but your leftovers, your sloppy joes that are leftovers from last week that are in the pot, you see what exactly it looks like. So that's mamish tefias ayin. Now, what about if you have a simen? Simen is not as good. If you have a simen muvuk, great, but a regular simen, that's why in Sif Hei, Aruch HaShulchan here points out, and the Shach, I think the Shach is in Chaf Gimel, although I didn't write it down, points out that Lechatchila Nikur is not enough of a simen. B'di'evet it is, because simonim do work, but it's not Lechatchila. Lechatchila, Tvias Ayin will work. So Tvias Ayin means you see it, you recognize it. As opposed to simonim, if it's not the high-level simon of a simon muvuk, it's not going to be lachatkila. The last point, and with this we'll close, is the end of the simon about allowing shvachos to be alone and the chashash about the kalim in the kitchen. So if you have a camera, great. If you have yotzei v'nichnas, great. But if it's zman rav, and the babysitter knows you're not, there's no chance you're coming back in the next 3 hours, so do you have to worry that she was machlif the food? So, as Rav Shechter pointed out, if you tell her she can have as much food as she wants, so then she can have as much food as she wants, and you don't have to worry about it, because she's not going to be machlif it. In terms of the kalim, so that's a bigger consideration. You have to figure out, when do you create a mirsas, that she's going to realize that she's using the kalim, etc. You can give her other kalim that she can use on her own. This is a whole, that's why there's a discussion here about whether or not there's a simon on the inside of the kli or on the outside of the kli. But b'ikaron, it comes back to the same point about mirsas, but not that the person is going to swap it out intentionally trying to be machshel you, so you have to just understand the metzias. Now, it does say in the end, you're not, if she makes a mistake and puts food in your pot, you shouldn't feed it to her, so she shouldn't be incentivized to do it next time. But these are the general principles. So to summarize, issue number one is thinking about the relationship between Kuf Yud Ches and Samach Gimel. Issue number two is defining whether or not there is Hana. Issue number three is solving the problem through different forms of Chusamos 1 versus 2. And then issue number four is the avoidance of these problems through either Tfias Ayin or Nichnas Viyotze or not as good Derech Mavar Rabim or Simonim. And then the last point, which we didn't really have time for today, is to get into this issue about the Chashash of Kalim, swapping them out, using them for somebody else.